Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
And then I can cut out whatever. This is... So normally what this thing of what we do is chitty chats. We just talk about whatever. We're going to try to do interview style, talk about obviously your book and everything and what you got coming out. But basically it's just a free for all. Just talk about whatever. Awesome. We'll probably ask you about, you know, origin story. I'll try not to ask what Chris and Mike, the questions that they asked you, but I'll be honest, I don't remember what they asked you, so it's probably going to be some repeats.
All right.
But yeah, so let's go ahead and hop into it. This is another special Chitty Chats with interview.
Chitty Chat interview edition.
Yeah, interview style. We have David Wallen. He is the creator of Correct Handed Comics. David, could you go ahead and say hi?
Hey, how are you? It's actually Whalen. Like the big swimming mammal with an N on the end.
My bad.
That's okay. Not a big deal.
Okay.
Correct Handed Comics. I have an ongoing series that we're about to put out, issue number 13, called The Offspring. It's a thriller, action adventure story. I have multiple other titles, 100-plus page graphic novels, one shots, 4-issue miniseries, all that stuff. Just working hard, trying to put out a lot of great stories, great art, and great content.
Yes, you. I heard you on Fortress of Comic News with Chris and Mike, and I probably heard you the first time you were on there, but I also didn't start listening to them till like Chris got a hold of us a couple years back. So I may have heard you, I may have not. Actually, I feel like I did, but then this last one when you were talking about The Offspring, I'm like, this sounds super interesting. I definitely want to go look into buying the trade, which I saw was on Amazon. Which I, after you sent us the first issue, we both read it and I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to know what's going on. So definitely have to track those down and get those. What made you think of this book, the Offspring?
Well, oddly enough, as I just had my 45th birthday,
congratulations.
Maybe I'm obviously dating myself. Thank you very much.
But hey, I'm 37, it's fine.
I came up with the character and these concepts probably about 18 years ago.
Okay.
So I was still a teenager when, if I'm doing my math right. No, I'm sorry. So it was more than that. I was probably 17 or 18 when I came up with these concepts, these stories, these characters. And really, I was big into superhero stuff. Love Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, really anything I could get my hands on. And I started thinking about characters, like wanting to see these kind of characters, but that were more closely related to people that I knew and more like me. So I started thinking about these different kinds of people that I knew in my life. Most of the characters are loosely based off family members, friends that I had grown up with. And I started thinking about, well, you know, they're going to have powers. I already had their powers fairly early in my thought process. But I started thinking about, like, code names and types and capes and things like that. I said, I don't think I want to do that. So this was, like I said, I was 18 years old, and this was long before the no cut, no tights, no fights, mm-hmm. small bill became mm-hmm. a big thing. So I like to say that I came up with that, even though I was nobody in my room and, you know, my bedroom with my parents.
Hey, you still had a thought though. That's important.
I still had a thought. Yeah. So I wanted to have these characters have big real life problems that were almost something that most people barely overcome. Almost problems that they couldn't really overcome. Problems that would stick with them even if they on the outside looked like they were kind of starting to get it together. We knew as a reader, and I knew as a writer, and they knew as characters themselves, that they were never going to be able to move beyond these issues that they have. And if you read the first issue, you kind of have a good idea of those big time issues that really all three of the main characters have to deal with, and will continue to deal with from issue 1 to issue 100.
Nice. So you do have it 100 issues planned then.
I've got it all planned out.
Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful. Yeah. So you created your own company, Correct Handed Comics. Was that easy? I mean, I know, again, you're indie company. It's indie books. And now I will say indie books are getting more popular. I still love my superheroes. I still love Marvel DC, but I'm starting to swing more toward indie lately. And this first issue that you let us read, it was amazing.
Thank you.
So I'm curious, how did you come about making your own indie company?
Yeah, I had, I'm also a elementary art school teacher.
Oh, nice.
So art is everything that I do on a daily basis. And I really enjoy my job. But I, like so many in my position, knew that comic books were probably going to be a good chunk of my life until the day I die. And I, early on, yeah, yeah, that you're doing. Early on, I knew I really started drawing and enjoyed drawing and was copying all of the drawings and Superman, Spider-Man, even comics like Mighty Mouse and Archie, any kind of comic books that I could get my hands on. I really dug and was really just sitting in my room or wherever my parents made me sit at the time with a sketchbook or at least loose pieces of paper, just constantly drawing. So as I grew up, I, you know, like a lot of people in my position, started putting together little stories here, little panels there. And probably about in my early 20s, really focused on the wrong things. focusing on things that were not conducive to creating comic books. And then as I grew older and I calmed down a little bit, I really started to know that I had wasted a lot of time and wanted to jump in fully, but knew that I couldn't jump into creating my own comic books, creating my own stories without really having that understanding, that basis of the knowledge and the practice that I had really done in my 20s. I had always been drawing, but hadn't really been the major focus. So when I decided to go back to school to get my art degree, I took as many, you know, drawing classes, all that stuff, writing classes, everything that I could get my hands on. And when the internet started becoming a thing, going on the internet and trying to just learn. I started about 12 years ago trying to find some really small press stuff to be able to kind of hone my craft a little bit. And after about 2 or 3 years of doing that, I just said, I think I'm ready to tell the story that I've been holding on to since I was 18 years old. So I'm on issue 13 now, so it's probably 5 years ago now. I started really putting together issue 1, and it snowballed from there. I'm up to about probably, I can usually get 2 to 3 issues done a month. One issue done every 2 to 3 months. Sorry about that.
There you go.
One issue done every 2 to 3 months. And in between that, I try to, like you said, do other kind of stories, other things like that. So I'm probably on 3 or 4 issues of The Offspring a year-ish, when everything goes well. So it really just is trying to get all the stories in my brain out of my brain. And really, Correct Handed Comics was the best way to be able to do that. We're in a time now where anybody can do... anybody with an idea and with a talent can put it all together and can make it grow and make it big and make it their own and do the kind of stories that maybe Marvel and DC, the big boys, aren't doing. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my focuses also, to maybe do stories that I hadn't seen much growing up.
Okay. You brought up other stories that you said you had. Another one you sent us, I know, Ron, you didn't get a chance to read it, but The Shady Lady. That was a very interesting story. I really enjoyed that. How did that story come about?
Yeah, it was really being on Facebook and hearing all of the comments on either side.
Yes,
I try to be a kind of person that can see both sides, even if I disagree with a side. I can understand where they're coming from. For the most part. Sometimes you're like, oh, no, I don't get that at all. But yeah. For the most part, I can see where most sides are coming from in most issues when it comes to politics or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So when developing Shady Lady, I kind of wanted a very flawed female protagonist. And I wanted her to be the kind of person that, even though she was struggling in her life, was willing to stick her neck out for others. Mm-hmm. Was the kind of person that was willing just to stand up and shout out loud if she saw something going wrong. And of course, right now, and what's happening in all over the country, we're seeing that all over the place now, where people are willing to stand up for yeah. what they believe in. And really, that's where it came from. Finding things that were relevant to what was going on in society today, and trying to give this character a way to be able to say, maybe this is how we should be reacting, or in some cases, this is how most people would want to react in those kind of situations.
Perfect. I can see that. That, yeah. Okay, there's a couple other PDFs that you sent me. The Loved Ones and Utero, The Conception. Yeah. You want to talk to us a little bit about those two? I remember Utero. You talk about that on Fortress of the Comic News, which is very interesting.
Yeah, that's probably the closest thing I have to a real superhero story. It's Evolution Utero, and the first four issues are the first four issue miniseries that I've ever put out, and it was trying to turn the superhero genre kind of in another light. Like, we hear the term all the time, oh, that person was, Superman was born to be a hero. Mm-hmm. So my idea was, what if they're a hero even before they're born? So, again, a flawed female protagonist, who was probably, like, the worst kind of person you would want to have around, very selfish, not very motivated at all, doesn't care about anything, and barely cares about herself. And come to find out that she gets impregnated by a superpowered fetus.
That'd be impressive.
Kind of creepy.
So gets impregnated with a superpowered fetus. So it's as this fetus, this baby grows inside of her, she starts to notice changes in her own thought process and her own pattern, in the way that she sees the world. And really, as a father, when I first came up with this story, this was 13 years ago, 12 years ago, parenthood changes people.
Yes.
Usually, right? So it was really trying to take that very simple idea of, how does parenthood change a person? How does that person become less about themselves and more about this tiny little person that they just made, hopefully? And I thought, well, what if that baby had superpowers? And I thought, what if the superpowers came on before the baby was even born? What would happen to that parent? And it's really a story about how people change through time. In some cases, how maybe they even revert back to being the selfish person that they were from time to time. Mm-hmm. So throughout the story, Jenny is the main character. She has challenges, and she has to make decisions. And sometimes she makes the what we would see as the right decision. By the end of the book, she's kind of reverted back, and she's started making decisions that she thinks will help her, but are that are really entirely selfish, that just blow up the whole thing. So, awesome. That's kind of like my Back to the Future type thing. I've got other stories with them, so the ending is very much an ending. You can stop. If you stop there, you're fine. Mm-hmm. But soon, I hope to be able to tell the next step of the story. And then after that, the next step of the story. So I'm hoping for a trilogy. And we'll see if I'm sure that I'll be able to get it out fairly soon.
That's awesome. Like I said earlier, I know the Offspring trades are on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Are the single issues for everything you have?
Yes.
Are they all on Amazon, or are like you doing a Kickstarter or Instagram or anything? Okay. Yes.
Yeah, they're single issues. I don't do Kickstarters. Here's issue 1-2 of The Offspring that covers.
Yes.
I don't do Kickstarters. I'm essentially, I've had some help here and there, but I'm essentially a one-man band.
Okay.
So I don't really need to pay anybody. I'm lucky enough to have a great editor, a friend who helps me out to make sure that all my T's are crossed and all my I's are dotted and I have question marks in all the right places. They help me make sure that I'm really paying attention, especially with The Offspring, on continuity, on making sure that, you know, if this character is wearing this in panel one, page one, they're wearing that in panel, you know, whatever of page 24. And they do, he does a really good job, and I really appreciate his time that he takes with me and the stories. I don't really do Kickstarters or Indiegogos or anything like that because I'm doing it myself. Really, the only thing it costs me is time. And I'm lucky enough to be able to have a wife and two kids who, when I shut the door and say, I got to get out, I got to get three pages done, they're usually leaving me alone.
It's family. They try not to bug you, but.
Yeah. Sometimes they hear that knock on the door. Dad, we're hungry. Can we have dinner? No, no dinner.
Not right now. We used to get that. Kids have gotten a lot better. Now we just hear them yelling upstairs, and it'll come out in the recording in the basement. So it happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you asked about the loved ones also.
Yes.
You know, forever about Evolution Negro. I didn't say the loved ones. The loved ones is actually a little bit different than what I've done before. It's my concept. So I have a list of. It's in the other room. I wish I had it. A list of just. All the stories that I have in my brain, and some of them plotted out, some of them even thumbnailed. And I thought, you know, I've got this great idea for this story, but I don't think I want to write it. So I had a buddy of mine, a friend of mine, who I'd worked with at some of the small press companies that I've been with. His name is Brian Menard, and he actually has his own company called Dojo Kun Comics. And you can find him on Facebook, dojokuncomics.com. He's got some great superhero titles, some great thriller titles also out. And I kind of contacted him with this idea, and he was all about it. He came back with a script like 2 days later, and it was amazing. The Loved Ones is about, we're both fans of classic movie monsters, Dracula, Frankenstein's monster, that kind of stuff. And I thought, what if those monsters had children, and what if a Van Helsing-type monster hunter character kidnapped those kids and tried to raise them as his own? So it's very much a nurture versus nature type situation. Well, I'm not going to get too many spoilers, but through the process of the book, the kids decide to go find their parents, their real parents. And some of those reunions go well. Some of those reunions do not go well. it's really their journey to be able to find their parents. And some of them revert back very easily to the trope, the monster trope that they are attached to. And we find out, you know, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for them, or whether it's just their nature to be able to have to do these things to survive. So it's it was a very interesting script that he gave me. And by the end of it, I was amazed at how much even though I had come up with the ideas for the characters and the basic concept, how much Brian had made me care about the actions of these four kids. They're about 11 or 12 years old.
Okay.
And how much he made me care about what they were doing and why they were doing it and the consequences of those actions. So The Loved Ones is, I think, an action, adventure, all that stuff, but a very personal story. If you've ever been confused as a 12-year-old, I think The Loved Ones will be right up your alley. It's black and white, so it really goes into that classic movie monster genre also. So, that's 100-plus pages. The ending, I think, is really super cool. And a lot of cool stuff in between. So if any of the viewers give it a shot, I'm sure they'll really enjoy it.
That's awesome. Yeah. You have anything?
Actually, I've just been kind of listening because I don't know too much about what has been written other than what I had
that's
read.
Fair. No, that's totally fair. Okay then. So... all these can be found on Amazon.
Yep. You can go to my website, correcthannacomics.com.
I'm going to link that in the page.
Yeah, and my Facebook page is a lot of insider stuff, a lot of different things. I try to share a lot of other Kickstarters from other creators that I see of stuff that I really like on there too. Support, just trying my best to support indie comics as much as I can. Yeah, if you go on the Facebook page, also at Correct Handed Comics, a whole bunch of insider stuff in there. And everything's on the website. Everything's on my author page on Facebook. Check it out. I think there's a lot of good stories out there that I'm trying to tell, and a billion more to come. I've been doing this till I'm 80.
Nice. So awesome. I do have a question. Yeah. Correct Handed Comics, are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm left-handed. I'm correct-handed. There's right-handed people and correct-handed people.
Whatever.
It's a right-handed world, and we're just trying to fumble our way through it.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
That's because they are talented enough to do things with their left hand.
Exactly.
That's not true.
I had a friend of mine a couple of years back. I made that joke to him, that comment, that observation to him. He was like, "What are you talking about? You can use stuff with right hand, left hand. It doesn't matter." I said, "Go look at a knife. Go look at a steak knife and see if you can cut it using your left hand with the right hand with a fork in. And tell me, do you do it? Tell me how easy it is." And he starts doing it. He's like, he's butchering the meat all over the place. Like, yeah, you're welcome. Yes. Thanks for being having patience.
Yeah, scissors is a big one. I know almost all the ones that we have here in my house are right-handed. I've tried it with my left hand. It definitely doesn't cut.
No, and it hurts because they don't sit right. Yeah, and then every time you go to cut it, and it's a lot. It's even some of the in the way some things are set up.
Yes. Oh yeah, everything's set up right-handed.
Yeah. Like the one thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do have that's set up left-handed, which it was an accident, was the only way they could fit the machines in there, is the presses that I have to run.
Oh.
Because it's literally set up left-handed. So, they were trying to show me how to do it, and they're sitting there, got their arm in their right hand, and then they have to come around here. And I'm just like, oh, you mean like this? I'm just like,
makes it easier.
Yeah.
Now those righties walk in our world. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Love it. David, thank you for coming on here. Thank you for reaching out to me. I love the books you sent me, or the issues that you sent. Loved reading them. I'm definitely going to pick up the first volume, probably both volumes. I'll be honest. I'll get them both.
Which means I'll be able to read them too.
Yeah, then he'll be able to read them.
Volumes. Issue 1 through 4 of The Offspring is out in trade or individual issues, and then issues 5 through 10 are also collected in trade too in volume 2. So yeah, that'd be great. Please tell me what you think. I love feedback. I love hearing, why did you do this and not this? Why did you do that? I love hearing that kind of feedback. Some people shy away from it, but I don't. I think any kind of feedback is helps me as a creator and helps me as a writer and artist to be able to just do better.
It is one of those things where, especially when I start, start to get to know writers, I'm a little leery of giving feedback because it to me, it sounds like I'm criticizing, which is it is what I'm doing, but it's like I don't like you're taking your time to write this stuff out, and you're allowing me to read this. Chris, when he put out his comic on Kickstarter, Battle Monsters, he sent me an advanced copy. I'm like, okay, well, this isn't right. Like, I felt bad telling him, but I know he purposely sent it to me for that reason. Like, he wanted to get that second opinion and to get that second set of eyes on there. It's just one of those things that I feel iffy about even just criticizing anything that I like.
Yeah. Now, me, I'm the other side of that. Like, if I see something, I'm probably going to make fun of it and then I'm going to say something.
We are on a podcast where we do criticize things left and right.
Exactly.
But there are books that have been out for, 30 plus years.
I do that with stuff that, my friends, are doing. Because it's just, what you do.
But
I try to remind myself that there are people out there that really love Star Wars. The people out there that really hate Star Wars. Mm-hmm. There are people out there that really love New Housewives of New Jersey or whatever it's called. And people who really hate, what's it called? Housewives of New York or whatever it is. So whatever anybody's preferences are or their critiques or their whatever it is, you always try to take it with a grain of salt, but know that sometimes it might not be for them. Sometimes it might really be for them and they dig it. You just do a story that is entertaining to you and one that you appreciate and you have pride in, and the fans will hopefully enjoy it also.
Yes, they will. Again, David, thank you for this.
Thank you guys very much.
You're great talking.
I'm enjoying the show for weeks. I'm glad I contacted you guys to be able to get on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Yeah. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And well, I mean, definitely in the future, we'd like to have you come back on sometime when you got like maybe another couple issues out and of anything.
I'd love to be able to come back and talk about it.